Okay, well, tonight I want to talk about the storms of life. You know, so many times in life that things happen to us and we get upset and we think, well, why doesn't God do this and why doesn't God do that? And we think just because we aren't immediately delivered from problems that God isn't listening to us. And actually, that's not really the truth. Remember, I guess a month or so ago, we looked at patience and we looked at Hebrews chapter 11 and all the examples of all the things that people... that they had to have patience to get through ordeals in life. And endurance, really endurance, patience. Endurance is, I think, a great word. They're basically the same thing, but for in our day and time, that we have to have endurance and patience to get through the trials of life. That, you know, sometimes God doesn't always give us immediate deliverance. And, you know, sometimes there's a reason for that, frankly. I think sometimes there's a reason for that. And so we're going to look at several examples in the Word where God didn't deliver them from the storm, He helped them through the storm. And really, there's many times in life that that's just what we have to have. We have to have the endurance to go through the storm so that, you know, we can turn that test into a testimony, right? That we can talk about how God helped us through something. And so we're going to look at some examples here. And the first one we're going to look at is in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, and it's one of the best examples of God helping somebody through a terrible ordeal. And that's the record of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So go to Daniel chapter 3, and really this is a very familiar record, probably just about everyone. And this is the record where the king decreed at a certain time that there would be musical instruments go off, and that you were to bow down and worship the graven image that he had put up. This is King Nebuchadnezzar, I believe. And there are three guys who refused to bow. And that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So we're not going to read the entire record because we've got a lot of ground to cover tonight. But we're going to pick this up in verse 19 of chapter 3. Where Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, where the king decreed if they didn't bow down, anyone who didn't bow down and worship this idol, they would be thrown into a fiery furnace. So if we pick it up in verse 19, then when the king found out that they weren't going to bow down, it says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind, to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And it's interesting to note, I want to go back actually and look at some verses up. I'm in chapter 3. So, somebody told the king that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not bowing down at the appropriate time. And so the king asked them, what's the deal? And in verse 16 it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we're kind of concerned about what we have to say. But he says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, and this is the believing that you have to have. This is the believing when you're going through the storm. This is the believing that you have to have. This is it. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Sometimes it's no matter what, we're going to continue to have faith in you. No matter what, no matter the circumstances, you need to continue to stand in faith, to stand on God's promises. Because sometimes God takes you through the storm for a reason. You know, really. And we're going to see a couple of examples. So then it was verse 19 where he was full of fury and he had them bound up. And then we go down to the verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats. their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they were bound up, they were tied up, and they were thrown into the furnace. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have not have God. Now, there's an interesting point about this verse, okay? I'll just tell you this. Most versions of the Bible, does somebody have something besides King James here? Anybody have another version? Most versions use the article A instead of the article the. A, Son of God, okay? And whatever it is, God sent somebody, right? It could be an angel, it could be whoever, okay? In other words, but that's just kind of an interesting, most translations, even the New International says a son. But anyway, whatever it is, God sent somebody there to protect these guys. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. So the only thing burned up were what? The ropes that bound them together. The ropes that bound them was the only thing. Now, could God have... Now, think about this. Could God have made it so that they were never bound and thrown into the fire? Sure, He's God. He can do anything. But He didn't, did He? Because sometimes a test, a storm is an opportunity for God to shine. It's an opportunity for God to show His power. It's an opportunity for God to show His glory. It's an opportunity for God to show His good grace and deliverance. Sometimes that's what it is. And so rather than just say, well, I mean, it's a nice little story. Hey, you guys were supposed to be thrown into the fiery furnace, but instead they escaped and ran down a tunnel. It's not that good of a story, is it? But this is a lot better story. This shows God's real power, that these men were able to be thrown in and were absolutely unharmed, that God protected them, and God even sent someone else, perhaps His son, perhaps an angel, to be there with them. So verse 27, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They didn't even smell like smoke. This is God. And so what happened? All of a sudden, everyone knew. Everyone knew that God's glory, that God's power rescued them. You know, Rosa and I, we had a relative who was accused of a very bad crime. You know, we had a relative accused of murder. They didn't kill anybody, but that's what they were accused of. And we went and we helped. We went, and this was probably 10 years ago or so. And we helped the lawyers. I was kind of, there was one lawyer, and he had a second chair that I was helping also, but I would, rather than sit at the council table, I would sit out and I would take notes and notice things and so forth. And even though someone was charged with a terrible crime that they didn't commit, when the trial started, the prosecution's case literally fell up to pieces, just absolutely fell apart. By the time Tuesday rolled around, it was done, and the prosecutor actually dismissed the charges. And the lawyer who was helping, the main lawyer who was defending the relative, wasn't a believer. But at the end of the trial, he said, there's no other explanation than how this happened other than God's hand being involved in it. Right? That's what he said. That it was a terrible thing to have to go through. But there was something good come out of it. There was, without doubt, somebody who saw the power of God, because there was no other explanation. I mean, it's a long, long story, frankly, but literally, the thing just crumbled. They had this great case, and it just fell apart. By the time we got to the courthouse on the second day of trial, the prosecution was ready to dismiss, and that's what basically what he did. I mean, that it was. We sat out in the gallery, we spoke in tongues, we prayed, and in the end, the right thing happened. It took a lot. I mean, unfortunately, somebody had to sit in jail for several months, you know, for some things that had happened. But that's what happened, that an unbeliever was able to say, there's no other explanation for what happened than God's hand being in this. And this is a guy who had tried countless cases like this. He was a very experienced trial lawyer and had tried capital murder cases even. And so he knew what he was talking about when he'd seen something like that fall apart. I'm sorry, let's go back to Daniel chapter 3. And let's finish this record, excuse me. Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. After they came out of the fiery furnace, then Nebuchadnezzar, verse 28, spoke and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him." See, it says angel here. Anyway. "And have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which spoke anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And so what happened is, you know, there were these people in Babylon that worshiped God, and now probably there's a whole lot more people that worship the one true God because of the miracle that God performed. Because he took Shadrach, Meshach through the fire. Because he made them fireproof. And sometimes that's what God will do for you, is he will take you through the storm. He will make you fireproof. You may have to go through something, but God will deliver you if you continue to stand in faith and look at him. Okay, now let's go to Daniel chapter 6, about Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 15. The king gets on his high horse again and says, "If you don't do what I say, then we're going to throw you into the lion's den." This time it's not a fiery furnace, it's a lion's den. And so Daniel, somebody rats on Daniel and says, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. He's not bowing down when he's supposed to bow down, or he's bowing down when he's not supposed to bow down, or something like that. And they tell the king on Daniel, and the king actually liked Daniel. He loved Daniel very much, and he was very upset that he actually had to carry out his sentence on Daniel. But the king was tricked. The king was tricked into making a decree, and they knew they were tricked. And so Daniel, again, it's a familiar story. He was thrown into the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 15. "Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, King, O king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded," and they brought, in other words, they'd already ratted on Daniel, and they said, "Hey king, you know, look, you said that if somebody was doing what you told them not to do, that they were going to be thrown into the lion's den," and that's where we're picking it up. "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke." Now, do you think they fed those lions very much? Probably not. They intended to feed them Daniel. "Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou serves continually, he will deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet, and the signet of the lords, that the purpose might..." Remember how you would seal something? The tomb was sealed. Remember how God has sealed you with the Holy Spirit? Right? How God has given you the Holy Spirit? He has marked you as his own, and then he has cranked down the lid. He has sealed it inside of you. So this is the same thing. They sealed the lion's den. They closed it up, they sealed it, and then they marked it so nobody could come along and take it off. It's like, here it is. Here's the king's mark. You don't dare cross this line. "And a stone was brought," verse 17, "and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. Daniel! O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency, right, was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. You know, again, God could have delivered Daniel and had him never thrown in the lion's den, of course. But sometimes things are going to happen. Sometimes you may be thrown in the lion's den, but if you stand in faith, continue to look to God, God will bring you through it. God will make you lion-proof. He'll make you smell bad, taste bad. Maybe the lions won't even see you. Who knows? Or maybe he'll send an angel to stand between you and the lions if that's what he has to do. He'll do whatever he needs to do to bring you through the storm. But sometimes you have to go through the storm. Go to James chapter 1. And let's always remember when things are happening that it's not God's will. It's not God bringing these upon it. But sometimes God does allow things to happen. Why? Sometimes we don't know the reason why. We just have to stand in faith. And over and over and over. Okay, so you lost your job. God's got a better job for you. That woman you like, she won't have anything to do with you. God's got a better woman. Or man. Or whatever it is, you know. You wreck your car, God's got a better car for you, right? Amen. Amen. That's nicer, has fewer miles, and costs less money. How about that? That's right. These guys wrecked their car and the insurance company gave them enough. And I'll be honest with you, when Jennifer came to me and said, because they offered us, they offered you like $9,200. And she came to me and she goes, I think it's only worth about $8,000. I said, well, take the money. That's what she said. I think it's only worth about $8,000. I'm like, take the money. And so these guys got some for even less than $8,000 that's nicer than what they had, that has fewer miles. And they use the extra money to go buy them a bunch of new clothes. You don't mind me telling you that, or telling them that story, right? Well, but you know. Hurts to have a couple of extra $1,000. That's right. So see what God will do for you. You just have to trust, that's right, to let Him take you through the storm, and He will do that. Because it's been a storm. I mean, we've had a lot to deal with. The insurance company denied coverage, and we finally had to file a lawsuit to get them to do the right thing. But we did it, you know.
You know, as we're going through it, you think, this shouldn't happen to these great
That's
people.
That's right.
Why is this happening to these great people? What do you mean it's going to be denied?
I mean, certainly, you know, at that time, Daniel was a prominent person in the king's court. Certainly, many, many people knew that what had happened, that he had to be thrown in the lion's den, and certainly everybody else knew that what happened. He came out of it alive, so it's a great testimony. It doesn't say that in there necessarily, but it's a great testimony. And actually, if you read the record, if I would have continued reading the record, the people that accused Daniel and tricked the king, they got thrown in the lion's den. And there wasn't an angel down there protecting them. There was no angel for them. They got eaten up. Well, yeah, that's true, in their families. It's kind of that's going a little far, but anyway, the king threw them and their families into the lion's den. So we're in James chapter 1. Again, I just want to remind you, when these things happen, go to James, like I said, James chapter 1. Let's remember that when these things happen, they're not from God. James chapter 1. We'll start in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, that has patience through trials. That could be translated. Patience through adversity. For when he is tried or he is found approved, that's what that word tried there means. It means tested and found approved. He shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So remember, this stuff doesn't come from God. But, you know, the world we live in is a fallen world. The devil is the god of this world. And there are certain things, you know, that because the devil is in control, really, that God has to allow. I mean, like death, for instance. I mean, everyone is going to die. And that's why? Because that's part of the world we live in. Because we live in a fallen world. But God still takes care of his people. Right? It says, we looked at the verse a week or two ago, no good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. So remember, this stuff isn't from God, these things that happen. Just because God may allow it doesn't mean it's from God, and it's God's will that you go through these things. Let's go to Acts chapter 27. And here's the story of Paul going through a storm. Paul, one of the greatest men, certainly one of the greatest believers that ever lived, goes through a storm that lasts day after day after day after day. Was it his fault? No, because he actually warned the people in the ship. Now, I wouldn't go if I were you, because what's going to happen to the ship? What was going to happen? But did they listen to him? No. They did what they wanted to do, just like plenty of people do, right? They did what they didn't listen to Paul. I mean, Paul was actually a prisoner on the ship. He was on his way to stand before Caesar. He warned them not to do it, but they did it anyway. Okay, Acts chapter 27, we'll start in verse 9. Try to give you a little bit of background, but we're going to cover most of this record. Most of this chapter we're going to cover here in verse 9. And now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past. Now you're going, what does that mean? Well, what it means is that it was starting to be winter time. This fast is referring to the Feast of Atonement, the Day of Atonement. Okay, which means after that it's turning into winter, and so it's not safe to sail. All right, get that?
I get it.
Yeah. Okay. Much time had passed. Much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading in the ship, but also of our lives. So he warned them, I wouldn't go there if I were you. I don't think we ought to go there. Maybe we ought to stay where we're at. Of course, they think to themselves, oh, Paul, he's a prisoner. He just wants to, you know, stay out of trouble. Nevertheless, verse 11, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious, there's a good King James word, to winter in. In other words, the port they were in was not a good place to winter. Okay, that's what that means. The more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the south, west, and northwest. In other words, they were going to try to make it to Crete, and there was a port there that because of the way the port was shaped and because of the direction it faced, it was a safe place for the ship to spend the winter. Okay? It was protected from, like, it's probably protected by the island from storms and the wind and stuff like that. Okay? So that's where they said, and so when the south wind blew softly, all of a sudden, hey, wait, there's a nice wind. We can go exactly where we want to go. I've got a good idea. Let's go to Crete, and the wind happens to be blowing that way, so that's where we're going to go. And they loosened thence and sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called, whatever that is. Anyway, basically what that is a strong northeast storm.
Northeaster.
Northeaster, right. A northeaster came in, and believe me, I had been on a ship hit by a big storm. I've been on a ship hit by a storm.
Yeah.
Yes, you were there too. We were on a cruise coming back from Mexico, coming north, and it was in April, and a strong front came through and hit the boat. and we had 18-foot seas. Is that big?
Pretty big.
Pretty big. Would your ship, how would your ship do an eight, your boat do an 18-foot seas?
Go up and down.
Wouldn't be very much fun. Would be pretty bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. We were on a cruise ship, and it was bad.
It
was bad. It was bad. Everybody got sick. I mean, we're on a great big cruise ship. The thing's like 3 football field long or something. It was massive, this ship we were on. Has all kinds of ballast things and to make sure to keep it steady and so forth, but in 18-foot seas, nothing happened, nothing mattered. A huge ship. These guys were on a ship probably about the size of Andy's boat, 40 feet long. From here to that wall, probably back wall back there, that's probably about 40 feet. This room's 28 feet. Probably about to that back wall. Little tiny boat. And a bad storm came. Now, God could have kept the storm from coming, couldn't he have? Do you think Paul ever went out and rebuked the storm? Do you think Paul ever went out and prayed to God to get them out of the storm? You think it ever happened? Yeah, you bet it did. That's not what happened. Verse 15, and when the ship was caught, and they could not bear into the wind was so strong that they couldn't sail into it, you know what they had to do? They put away the sails and they let the wind drive the boat wherever it was going to drive them. That's what they did. That's what it says there. Huh? Is that what that is? Where you just, what do? Let the sails up and take the sails down and let the ship go wherever it's going to go. What they said, here's what it says in the New Living Version. It says, the sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. And sometimes in life, that's what you've got to do. Sometimes in life, if the storm is coming, you've just got to go with it. And you know what? Sometimes God will blow you in a direction that you needed to go, but you would have never gone there without the storm. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. He was blown in a direction he would have never gone. Because sometimes that's what you have to do, is just let up and just let things go for a while and see where God takes you. Verse 16, in running under the certain island which was called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps in undergirding the ship. They actually ran ropes underneath the boat and tied them tight to keep the boat from breaking apart. That's how bad the storm was. Fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strike sail, and so were driven. They continued to be just at the mercy of this storm. And this is Paul on this boat. One of the greatest believers that ever lived, I'm sure. Performed miracle after miracle. And we being exceeding tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. They began to throw stuff overboard so the ship wouldn't sink. And the third day, you know, the rest of us would be going, oh, well, I guess God just isn't going to protect us through. I mean, I guess God, he's on vacation or something. We'd all be giving up. We'd be so upset because God had just doing something about this after 3 days. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They start throwing gear overboard. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete. I told you so. I told you not to go and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. The ship's going to be gone, but we're going to all be saved. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. God did it again. He sent an angel. Paul was so distraught. It was so bad that God had to send an angel. I've never been in that big of trouble yet. God hadn't sent an angel to me yet. Well, you, if that's what it takes. Stood before me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, the angel said, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with you. I bet they weren't all believers, but you know what? God saved them anyway, just for Paul's sake. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be evened. And when the 14th night was come, 14 nights they've been in this storm. 14 days. Of course, you know what's happening is it's storm is moving. They're being moved with it. And so it's like, you know, it's this storm is lasting forever. So they're being blown with this storm for 14 days.
2 weeks.
And we're upset if we get if we get a cold that lasts 3 days. Here, listen to this. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipman deemed that they drew near to some country to land, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. How much is a fathom?
6 feet.
So it's 120 feet. Glad I got this sailor here. I can ask all these questions about. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. So now they're at 90 feet. And so what? It's getting shallower. That's 90 feet's pretty shallow, so they know they're getting close to some land. And they feared, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Please, let the sun come up. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these guys. In other words, some guys were going to escape from the ship, maybe go to land. And Paul said, no, unless these guys stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. And by that time, they were listening to Paul, because Paul had said, don't do that. And so like, maybe I'll listen to this guy this time. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. It was a lifeboat. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, and there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship, 276, 276 people. And it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, and if it were possible to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up anchors, they committed themselves under the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. They put the sail up and they said, we're going to go to shore. They had found land. They saw a place that they thought they could beach it. They could nose it in and then beach it. And falling into a place where 2 seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and the remaining unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. So the ship was busted up. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land.
Wow.
That's not the end of the story. So here they are. They're shipwrecked. I mean, chapter 28, verse 1. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said amongst themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he, Paul, shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. So he was bit by a poisonous snake, but guess what? Nothing happened. Remember in the book of Mark, it says if you drink any deadly thing, remember if you have something deadly happen to you, won't hurt you. Because of his believing. He was healed. He healed himself. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while, saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days, lay sick of the fever and of a bloody flux. Then Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him, on this father, and healed him. And when this was done, others also which had diseases on the island came and were healed. Who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. So Paul goes to this island, heals a man, and when it's discovered that he can heal, what happens? They bring all these other people to him. So that storm was maybe the worst thing that had ever happened to Paul and the people in the ship. Might have been the best thing that ever happened to some of those people on the island. Because Paul was able then to deliver them from their sicknesses. Do you think he spoke the word to them? Doesn't say so, but I bet he did, didn't he? Do you think any of them got born again? Doesn't say so, but I bet they did. That God was able to bring Paul through the storm to where he needed to be, and where people needed him. And sometimes that's what happens with us. God takes you through the storm so you can help other people go through the storm of life as well that you've been through. That God will use your experiences to help other people. So we go through storms of life, and they're not God's will that necessarily we go through them, but God can use them for good. That there can be a great testimony on the other side of the storm. I mean, so we all have storms of life, right? Financial storms, health storms, medical storms, depressions, all kinds of stuff. Storms with our children, with our family, with our relationships, you name it, right? God will, no matter what, God may not deliver you instantly. God can make it so maybe you don't have to go through that, but God will take you through the storm if you just stay in faith. You continue to trust God, you continue to believe, and God will take you through the storm. And chances are you're going to come out of the other side better, with a better circumstance, with better believing. Because you know what? If God does it once, He can do it again. No big deal. And sometimes that's what I think about, all the things that God has put me through. If I've done it once, if God's done it once, then it's no big deal. He can do it again. Let's close it out in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I think this verse will probably mean a whole lot more to you now that we've looked at these records. 1 Corinthians 13. There has no temptation, no adversity, no test, no storm taken you, but such is common to man. In other words, a lot of other people have gone through this stuff, okay? Don't think you're the only one. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, with the adversity, with the storm, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. That's what God will do. God will bring you through the storm. You just have to remain faithful. You can't flip out. You can't freak out. You can't become full of fear. You have to remain in faith. And sometimes it's hard to do. And sometimes we do freak out a little bit, you know, but you got to reel it back in. You got to reel your mind back in and continue to deal with things, continue to go to God, and continue to have the patience and endurance to let God deliver you when the time is right. Okay?